If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
We continue to interrogate stories related to South African business issues that are very close to home. Not only that, but also abroad. And in the first hour, we spoke about the markets. We gave you a 360 view of the We Buy Cars listing, not only looking at the business itself and its journey to the stock exchange. We also reflected on how the stock exchange prepares companies for listings and how they too have been managing the gap and lack of adequate listings in the local market. And most importantly, also leaving you as a retail investor with sound knowledge and an understanding of what to look out for before investing in any of these stocks. And these particular stories really resonate in South Africa, because if you think about it, this is why we have an economy. For small and medium entities to start off, create jobs, to scale, to expand, and when they have the opportunity to then tap into capital markets where our pension funds have the ability to actually invest in those businesses. I say this because it also relates to another company that not only have our pension funds had the opportunity to invest in, ourselves as retail investors, but it's also a company that has had its electronics and its appliances in our households. Next time you take a look at the old bunny ears aerial or TV antenna that we used to use, just take a look at the name of the brand. Your surge power protection plugs, maybe even your DStv dish and decoder, maybe even your backup power supply system that you have in your home. Ellie's, a company that unfortunately has recently found itself going through business rescue and now subsequently going to file for liquidation, as the company is no longer regarded as a going concern in accounting terms. Essentially, its debts exceed the assets and the value and the worth of the actual business. But to talk us through Ellie's, the brand, the business, understanding some of the business failures that might have come about, contracts and market concerns that might have been raised to lead it to where it is now, we join on the line by a good friend of the station and someone who always schools us on investments, is Zwela Kemguni, Chief Investment Officer and co-founder at Benguela Global Fund Managers. Mr. Mguni, always a pleasure.
Good evening, Gugu. Good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for making time this evening. So these kind of stories really stand out for me because I think it's such a beautiful illustration of evaluating South African-born businesses, how they operate in the market, and also learning some of the business dynamics and investment criteria that they either manage to fulfill or faux pas that might occur along the way. But take us through your journey when you first understood who Ellie's was as a business, what it is that they did, and of course their influence in the market. Because I'm thinking about bunny ears, right? TV areas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, certainly my interaction was with the bunny ears, as you say, many years ago when we were youngsters and there was still only black and white TV. Mm. So this is a business that was founded in 1979. So it's been in South African households for quite a long time.
And it has been around for a long time. I'm keen for us to also just talk through, you know, its growth in South Africa in terms of it being an electronics business, because it has been a small cap for quite a while, managed to scale in terms of its presence, but not so much in terms of market value.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, the company was an importer, and I say was, because now they filed for liquidation. Mm. And wholesaler and distributor of a range of electronic products. So what they typically did is they would go to, for example, the manufacturing hub of the electronic products and basically get a manufacturer to create products that are aligned to what the market needs in South Africa, and it would carry their brand. So the business has, actually grew relatively well until probably after the listing. I think after the listing, what we saw was management becoming a bit more aggressive in terms of their plans and trying to grow the business quite aggressively. So in terms of them remaining small cap, I mean, I think that's been a function of that. Largely, the fact that their execution plan was much bigger than what they were capable of, so at execution level, but also way ahead of their cash flows or what their balance sheet could handle. So there's been a few mistakes that they made, also on acquisitions.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm happy to talk through those as we go along.
Definitely. And maybe guide us through a few of them. I do recall a time when set-top boxes and digital terrestrial television was a thing. And it was earmarked to be this amazing boon for Ellie's as a technology player, because they essentially received the contract from government to ensure that every household in South Africa would use this particular device, a set-top box or new version of a decoder, in order to receive a digital transmission for television. But as we know, that particular contract fell through. Was this also one of the contributing factors to the business?
It was a contract that troubled the business, and I think we saw afterwards that the gross profit margins were coming under pressure. So basically, for the listeners, just what they're selling a product at minus the cost of that product if they imported it, including the import cost. So basically, it is a point in time when we started seeing that the margins are getting thinner and thinner. I mean, prior to that, the business was between 30 and 40 gross profit margin. 30 and 40%.
Sure.
And we ended up significantly below that over time. And they've tried all sorts of strategies to try and boost that and through things like product mix. I mean, when the Eskom issue started, they basically came out with these LED lights that were essentially quite profitable, at least relatively profitable. And they were a supplier into that program where people could swap light bulbs, normal light bulbs for the LED light bulbs. So they had a few fortunes, but I think the big challenge became just the management of the plan. And I attended a results presentation. I don't remember, it would probably be 2012. Mm-hmm. When they were at the presentation, the CEO was telling the analyst community that they don't even have enough stock at the moment. They're flying aeroplanes to Nigeria to go supply light bulbs.
Sure.
And that was actually something that triggered the spotlight on whether they were over trading. In other words, did they actually overcommit on stock when the actual demand might not be there? So they overestimated the demand.
There's so many lessons to this. Go ahead.
I think there were lots of mistakes that were committed. I mean, I remember in 2013 they also bought properties that were housing the operations of the business. I think it was close to 40 million rand at the time. But it was allegedly the property owners were actually part of the founding members of the business. So they basically realized some capital for themselves by making the company buy those assets. That's the first thing. And I think if you take a long-term view, and again, this is something that would be useful for listeners, it's always important to aggregate the amount of cash that the business has generated from operations and compare that to the amount of cash that the business has been spending over time. Mm-hmm. And in Ellie's case, I think they generated just under 190 million in cash since they listed in 2007. But what they actually spent in capital expenditures and acquisitions was actually 280 million. So you can see that they were already spending more than what they generated. So lifetime cash generated just under 140, and then actual expenditure to 80. So it's something that is quite a useful indicator You can go do it on most of the companies that went under. Mm. It's a classic feature where companies spend more than what they generate and they end up going into debt and then a rights issue sometimes. Sometimes the rights issue are too late, just in case of Ellis, for example.
Yes.
And you basically go bankrupt. So what caught them and what led them to this liquidation is debt. And where did the debt come from? It came from them living beyond their means during the good times.
Sure. Much like a household, right? When you find yourself in trouble financially, not managing your budget adequately. And I guess whilst we, you know, it's always easier to reflect, right, in hindsight, but there's a broader story to this as well, which is when South African businesses rise and fall, essentially. We've spoken about this when it comes to Steinhoff, where there was a heightened level of malfeasance there and corruption. We've spoken about this now with Ellie's, where we're taking a look at perhaps just living too much of the high life when the times were good and not managing the business operations effectively. What does this, I guess, teach us as investors, as members of the business community? Essentially about the rise and fall of businesses and that things can really fall apart despite being pioneers in a specific industry.
Absolutely. I think if you look at the first thing is, I would say, philosophically, investors need to be cautious about stocks that have big hype around them. So at one stage, at least I think traded at close to 10 rand. And we are sitting at 1 cent today. Mm. So when the hype was big, I mean, that's something that investors that fear missing out tend to fall for. So that's the first thing. Mm. The second thing is that we also have to pay attention to the industries that businesses operate in. Certain industries have got short product life cycles, which means that if they are originator companies, they need to always invent new products to replace those products because they're being competed away. So that's a short product life cycle. If you take a Coca-Cola, for example, it's been there for many, many years. Many guys have come and tried to compete with them and failed. But you look at things like light bulbs. I mean, that market is quite competitive. As soon as people figure out the technology, the price comes down.
Yeah.
So the product lifecycle is quite important for a business. The third thing that I'd highlight is that you need to think about the sectors of the economy where the business is playing, because that can add or detract from the product lifecycle. So in a industry where demand is highly cyclical and actually attached to consumer consumption, which is cyclical in nature, you may actually want to pay attention that you don't have too many of your stocks as an investor concentrated in the cyclical, because when times get tough, those are the times where, if it coincides with the time when the business is heavily indebted, those are the times that when most of those type of businesses go under. The three lessons that I would take away is that the product life cycle is important.
Yes.
The sector is very important. The cyclicality of the sector, but also the management of the overall management of the business. I mean, you get guys that get excited. It's management, and they fail to distinguish between a cyclical boom and a structural boom. And I think Ellis is a classic example, because I attended a few of those presentations where management was really excited about the future and they were over-promising. And suddenly the outcome could almost have been predictable if you go look at the case studies of business that made such mistakes.
Definitely. But Zwelakhe, I can imagine we need to have a full lecture on this, I think, as a Kayapiz special going forward, because as you mentioned, hype, industry focus, product life cycle, sectors that the industry is associated with. I'm already thinking about a business that listed just this morning and if there's hype around that. But that's a whole nother conversation for another day, right?
Indeed, indeed.
Are you buying? Maybe let's sneak it in there. We buy cars, buy, hold, or sell. Or are you still observing for
that? No, not buying. I'm sitting on the sidelines and watching the gameplay.
Ah, I see. I see. Such a pleasure speaking to you as always, Mr. Mguni. Oh, man, long may these conversations last because there's so many lessons for us to extract from them. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Gugu. Good evening to you, our listeners.
Fantastic. Again, thank you again for your time. That's Zwelakhe Mguni, Chief Investment Officer and Co-Founder at Benguela Global Fund Managers. And I thoroughly enjoy these conversations with industry experts who not only understand the technical metrics of businesses and company annual results and the statements that are shared by these businesses, but also take a look at the industry trends, the management styles. And if you do think about businesses that we've witnessed falling under particular demise in the past, what Zwelakhe has described is really part of the golden thread. If you think about Tongaat Hewlett, Peter Stauder, phenomenal leader who had the say of grace, heightened respect and a lot of hype around the property sales that they were doing at the time, which we now know was a method and a means to actually pump up their profitability as a business, only leading to further accounting misconduct and malfeasance. These were some of the red flags perhaps that we might have missed. Steinhoff, Marcus Uster was regarded as a legend, constantly purchasing new assets. And again, speaking to the FOMO and the hype around the business and the industries it was associated with. Great story that it told in terms of owning the full value chain. But as we now know in hindsight, again, just pumping up the profits using accounting metrics and systems to really mislead the South African public. So there's many themes that actually speak to this that we do need to be mindful of. And whilst we don't celebrate the demise of businesses which at some point contributed to our tax base, created jobs, were active pioneers and innovative industries in our country, because that's exactly why we ask for business to continue investing and to continue growing. There are some lessons that we do need to learn when it comes to the demise of certain businesses, the management structures, and unfortunate losses that they might incur. But that is, I guess, key lessons that we've taken away from Ellie's. Next time you take a look at your DSTV decoder, your surge protection plugs, your television aerials, bunny ears, I remember when I was much younger is what we used to refer to it, or Aerial King products. Just take a look. It might just be a product that has come from Ellie's, a business which used to be headquartered on Elof Street, not too far from the pyramid, and having been started and founded back in 1979 by the late founder and CEO, Mr. Ellie Salco, who passed away back in 2021. Many lessons to learn here. And this is why we have these conversations, right? So that you see and spot the business story in things that are tangible and relatable to all of us. Whether it's We Buy Cars, whether it's Ellie's, whether it's the retail stores that we actually talk about. The truth is, there's a business story in everything. And business doesn't have to be boring.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.